Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. So good morning to you on this Saturday morning. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. And they have a program that comes on every Saturday evenings, which will be tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their broadcast is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Their lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. And a youth pastor is Pastor Zachary Osler. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. So I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
Say it, church. You deserve it. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord. Yeah. You deserve it. Now, all of the glory. belong to you. Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise. You deserve it, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Can somebody tell them that this morning? You deserve it, God. You deserve it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. My hallelujah belongs to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is not even mine. It's yours, God. Somebody give him a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Well, good morning once again, this early Saturday morning. This is Father's Day weekend, so I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. Hope you have a blessed one. Thank you, Father. That song is just so personal. You deserve it, God. You deserve it. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get into the word, amen. We're going to be coming out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read verse 7. Then we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 14. Proverbs 20th chapter, verse 7. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, beginning at verse 14. Proverbs 20 and 7 reads, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." I'm going to read that one again. "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." 1 Corinthians 4th chapter, starting at verse 14. And it reads, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." That right there speaks for itself. He said, "I'm not writing these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." So fathers are not to shame, but to warn. Verse 15 says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." How many fathers can say that this morning? "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." I want to read 17 again. It says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways." So when Timothy shows up, he's going to remind you of my ways, of how I live, of the things that I do, the words that I say, my attitude, my behavior, my character. But the key thing says, not just my ways, but those are which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I've heard preachers say, when it refers to this scripture, that Paul is saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." I'm going to talk to you this morning, title being Just Fathers. Just Fathers. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come before you to hear what you would have to say to us, God, to prepare us, equip us, to encourage us, Father, to inspire us, God, to do what you called us to do. Father, we thank you for watching over us as we lay down and rest before you throughout the night. Thank you for waking us up this morning to see a beautiful day. Thank you for the new mercies that came with it, God, and your all-sufficient grace to get us through this day. Father, we thank you for who you are. For all the glory belongs to you, God. We give you a hallelujah because you deserve it. We thank you and we praise you just for who you are, God. Touch the hearts of fathers, God. Draw them to you, that they may be leaders and examples and representatives for you, God. To represent you, God. Thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just Fathers. What's a father? Going to give some definitions of the word father. Father, God, the first person of the Trinity. We spoke about the triune, the Trinity, couple of weeks ago. As God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Father is the first person of the Trinity. Father is God. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he began by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Father is God. Father is the source, the prototype, one that originates or institutes. Forefathers. When I think about forefathers, I think about these United States of America, of putting together something called the Constitution, of those who are called the forefathers. Forefathers. Another definition for father is a man who has begotten a child, one relating to another in a way suggesting that of father to child. My natural father is N.C. Woodard. I have fond memories of watching my father as I grew up. To me, he was my hero. He could do anything. I remember being around him while he worked, just watching him just build stuff and put stuff together. I remember times of spending with him just one-on-one, whether it was shooting pool or shooting basketball. Just to be in his presence because of the love that he showed for me and showed to me. But he wasn't always there. But every moment that we spent together, it was special. The impact and the influence that he had on my life. N.C. Woodard. More definitions of the word father. To be the founder, producer, or author of. To accept responsibility for. That's what a father is. To accept responsibility for. To fix the paternity or origin of. To care for or look after someone as a father might. To care for or look after someone as a father might. To accept the responsibility for. When I think about those two definitions, I think about my spiritual father. My natural father is N.C. Woodard. My spiritual father is Dr. Walter Henderson III. When I met this man, the very first thing he told me was, I'm going to take you under my wing and pour into you. So at that moment, he accepted the responsibility for being a father and to care for, look after me as I was his own son. I remember spending time with him, just talking about our hometown because both of us are from the same place. Talking about the word, me asking him questions and just sitting there like a sponge. He pouring into me, my spiritual father, Dr. Walter Henderson III. So I mentioned my natural father, and I've mentioned my spiritual father. When I think about Pastor Henderson, I think about the relationship of Jethro and Moses. Moses married Jethro's daughter. And that's actually how Pastor Henderson and I met. Because I married his daughter in my first marriage. Jethro was one who sat Moses down and taught him how to organize, how to put leaders in place. He was that godly example that he needed to be stable, to do the right things. And when Moses went to him and said, God has chosen me, Jethro gave him his blessing because he knew that he was ready. He knew that he was equipped because of what he had poured into him, how he had exemplified himself to him. That's what I think about when I think about my relationship with Pastor Henderson, Jethro, and Moses. Now let's turn to Acts 16 chapter, starting at verse 1. Acts 16, verse 1. Actually, we're going to start in chapter 15, verse 40. Acts 15, chapter, verse 40. And it reads, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And verse, chapter 16, verse 1 says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now remember, In 1 Corinthians, let's turn there. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, when Paul mentioned Timotheus in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 4 chapter, verse 17, and it reads, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son." So here it says that Paul called Timotheus his beloved son. But now let's go back to Acts. Acts 16 chapter, verse 1. And it reads, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." So when Paul called Timotheus his beloved son, he wasn't meaning he was his natural son. He was his spiritual son. Because here it speaks of his natural father being a Greek. And verse 2 reads, "Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Him would Paul have to go forth with him. So Timothy and Paul, they ministered together. They went on missionary trips together and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And see, even though Timotheus was a disciple and he ministered the gospel, the Jews wouldn't have been able to accept him because he was a Greek. Because his father was a Greek. So what Paul did, Paul had him circumcised so that the Jews could receive him when he ministered to them. That'll speak all by itself. And as they went through the cities, verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. We'll go back to the Jews accepting Timotheus. Relating to today, your audience or the people that you're ministering to, if they don't see you as one who is living what you claim to be, they're not going to accept you. They're not going to listen to you. We have to practice what we preach. We have to practice what we preach. Just wanted to share that. So, Timotheus, or another name is Timothy. Let's look at who Timothy was. And I'm going to read this out of the Holman Bible Dictionary, talking about Timothy. Timothy is a personal name meaning honoring God. Y'all know how I am with names. Because I believe that our name is our purpose. That's why I challenge people to find out what their name means. When you find out what your name means, you'll find out what your purpose is. Because before the foundations of the world was formed, God knew us. He gave us a name. That's why we're born into this world with a purpose. That's why parents have to seek God to name their children. Not just name them anything, because the name is their purpose. Timothy, personal name meaning honoring God. A friend and trusted co-worker of Paul. When Timothy was a child, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois taught him the scriptures. So, that was his foundation. He was trained in the way that he should go. It's one thing I remember when I would go visit my father, my natural father. Every Sunday, he took us to church. My mother, every Sunday, we went to church. Training us up in the way that we should go. For when we got older, we wouldn't depart. So the life that I live between childhood and adulthood, I had that foundation when I was a child. So the word was rooted and grounded in me to keep me from doing certain things. Yes, I was out there. I was wild. But because of the word and because of being brought up in the way that I should go, even though I was out in the world, when I became an adult, I still went to church. Because of the foundation that was laid. So it says Timothy was taught the scriptures. He was a native of Lystra and may have been converted on Paul's first missionary journey. Paul referred to Timothy as his child in the faith. That's why he called him his beloved son, because he was one of his sons in the faith. He was Timothy's spiritual father. Whenever I talk to Pastor Henderson, he doesn't refer to me as son-in-law or ex-son-in-law. From the beginning, I don't even remember him, ever calling me his son-in-law, even when I was his son-in-law. He's always called me son, because he accepted me as his spiritual son. So even today when I talk to him, he refers to me as son. Hey, son. How you doing, son? How's your family, son? So Paul referred to Timothy as his child in the faith. And this probably means that Paul was instrumental in Timothy's conversion. When Paul came to Lystra on his second journey, Timothy was a disciple who was well respected by the believers. Paul asked Timothy to accompany him. Timothy's father was a Greek, and Timothy had not been circumcised because they would be ministering to many Jews, and because Timothy's mother was Jewish, Paul had Timothy circumcised. Timothy not only accompanied Paul, but also was sent on many crucial missions by Paul. That's why when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, he told them that I'm going to send Timotheus. And he did that on many occasions, sent Timothy to certain areas to start churches or to share messages or to read letters that Paul had written them. For an example, when Paul was unable to go to Corinth, he sent Timothy to represent him and his teachings. Paul was in prison, and he sent Timothy to Philippi. Paul felt that no one had any more compassion and commitment than Timothy. So close were Paul and Timothy that both names are listed as the authors of six of Paul's letters. As Paul's ministry neared the end, he challenged Timothy to remain true to his calling. And as Paul faced death, he asked Timothy to come to be with him. So that's the kind of relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Even though they were joint missionaries, they were like father and son, because Paul took on the responsibility of being that spiritual father in Timothy's life. Father, the Greek word of father is pater, P-A-T-E-R, pater. And literally or figuratively, to be near or more remote. That's what pater means. To literally or figuratively be near or more remote. To be a parent. A parent is a person who brings up and cares for another. One who begets or brings forth offspring. That's what a parent is. A person who brings up and cares for another. I have two fathers that I can proudly say, N.C. Woodard and Dr. Walter Henderson III, two great men. Let's turn to St. John, the third chapter. St. John, the third chapter. Just fathers. Just fathers. St. John 3, starting at verse 16, and it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So we know that God, who is being mentioned, is our Father, which art in heaven. And the Son that is being talked about. And then it says in 18, believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God, of course, is Jesus. So we know that Father God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world, that the world through him might be saved. So whatever our name is, our purpose, as we mentioned last week and the week before, is to seek and save that which was lost. Is to reconcile people back to God. That's why we're here on this earth. To represent and represent our Father God, because we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Let's go to St. John, the 8th chapter. St. John 8. Just fathers. St. John 8 chapter, verses 18. And it reads, "I am one that bear witness of myself." This is Jesus speaking. It says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Because I understanding who Jesus was and where he was ministering, a lot of people knew him already from growing up with him and knowing who his natural father was, Joseph. But this question was, when Jesus mentioned his father, they asked him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. That's why we shouldn't fear. Why fear death? Because we have an appointed time. The Bible says that it's appointed to every man once to die. So what we must do up until that time is live out our purpose. Because it says that no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Why fear? Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And Jesus said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And verse 25 says, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. That's the key. He said, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, him being his Father in heaven. Jesus said, I do only what I see my Father do. I speak only what I hear my Father say. Verse 27 says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's our purpose. He said, for I do always those things that please him. That please his Father. which is in heaven. Just fathers, just fathers. Let's look at the definition of just. Just means exactly, precisely, only, simply, perhaps, possibly. Those are some definitions. But I want to talk about some other definitions of the word just. Conforming to a standard of correctness, proper. Acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good, righteous, legally correct, lawful. So the title Just Fathers is not saying that someone is just a father, is only a father, is simply a father. No, it's saying that that father is one who is morally upright or good, one who has a standard of correctness, proper, righteous. And the word fathers, the letters of the word fathers are actually acronyms, meaning following after the head example, reproducing sons. That's what the word fathers mean. Following after the head example, reproducing sons. So when you take the letters of the word fathers, F is following, A is after, T is the, H is head, E is example, R is reproducing, and S is sons, fathers. Following after the head example, reproducing sons. Now let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter, 15th verse. Ephesians 1, 15. And it reads, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus being the head example, that means fathers should follow after the head example, reproducing sons. That's the purpose of fathers. That's why fathers were placed on this earth, to reproduce sons of God. So fathers must be just. must be righteous, must be proper, must be upright, morally good, just fathers. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your revelation. And thank you for fathers, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Just fathers. Love you. See you next week.